Good morning. As John said, my name is Aaron Britton. I'm the pastor of worship and music here at Calvary. And Pastor Tom is in Monument, Colorado this morning. He's preaching at Tri-Lakes Chapel. And it's kind of a neat story because Tri-Lakes heard about all that God has done in us through the Kingdom Assignments and through ShareFest and us just developing a heart for our community. And they asked Tom if he would come down and share our story with them. And so that's what he's doing today. He's just sharing the story of Calvary. They wanted to move some of their ministries in that direction. And we celebrate that, and we're glad that he's there today ministering. And God has done a work here among us, continuing to do that. And that's spreading across our state and actually across our country now, all that God has done. So we celebrate that this morning. You probably noticed that the room looks a little different this morning when you walked in Erie High School and here in Boulder as well. And these canvases on either side this morning, you might remember that we at Celebration Sunday this year had some canvases up and we just wanted to write our praises and our prayers on them just as one body together. Well, we did that together, and then Laura Prill and Stephanie Shepherd took those and were inspired by the things that we all wrote and inspired by some themes that we put together as well, and finished these canvases. And if you get up close, you can still see the prayers and just our hearts on these canvases. And then they put that together: glory, honor, praise, and power. And it's just a great offering from our body. And we thought, you know, we were trying to look for ways to decorate this room, and also in Erie High School. And what better way than for us just to decorate it and to adorn this room with our praises and our prayers. So we thank Laura and Stephanie for finishing those. Yeah, it's great. And that's just a great addition to the places where we come together and worship corporately. And that's really a lead-in for what I'm talking about today, which is worship. We've been in this series, The Heart of the Matter, where Tom has been talking about our resources and developing the virtues of simplicity, sacrifice, gratitude. Can anybody remember any others? Contentment. That's right. He always drilled us on that one, didn't he? We missed that one. Contentment. I think there were a few others. Yeah. Sacrifice. Right. And that was kind of looking at our resources, developing that heart. And I just want to finish that series today to talk about worship and just the inward reality of worship and how that fleshes out in our life. And while we do that today, I want to give you some resources this morning that have greatly influenced me in my thinking about worship. And they're on your sermon outline. The first one is Dr. Harold Best, and he is the Dean Emeritus of the Wheaton Conservatory of Music at Wheaton College. Just a brilliant man. He wrote a book called Unceasing Worship that has just been so rich for me as I understand the concept of worship and what that looks like in the church. And if you have interest in that, I recommend that to you. You can find it on the internet or at a bookstore as well. I'm sure it's been out for a while. But Dr. Harold Best has been a great resource for me. Also, Louis Giglio, who is the founder and director of the Passion Movement, which is a worship movement among college students here in America and also worldwide now. And he's spoken and written many times on the topic of worship. And one of his most helpful messages for me, I put a link there on your sermon outline that if you have time, you can check that out. And I just wanted to give those to you today. I lean heavily on those men this morning as I come to you, and I want to let you know that and just commend that to you as you just look into this topic. So as we think about worship together, I want us to consider for a few minutes that perhaps we, even though we've heard a lot about worship and we kind of do it a lot, that we're still missing it when it comes to worship, and we still don't understand it like we ought to. And you know, sometimes I think we feel like worship is something that holds a certain time and place, or maybe worship is something that we can only get at the Christian bookstore, or as my kids call it, the VeggieTales store, which is all, you know, that's what they know of that store. So And I think we have some misunderstandings. Let me give you some examples of things that have come my way, things that have been said And one thing that's been said, folks will say, Aaron, how much are we going to worship this morning? How much are we going to worship? Don't mean that in a bad way. They asked me that question. Another one, Aaron, lead us in a 20-minute worship set, and then we'll do the sermon. Then we'll do the sermon. My dad was also a worship pastor, and he was asked one time, you worship him for 20 minutes, and then I'll get up and talk. That's what was said to him. And then this is one that I hear quite a bit. Aaron, the service this morning really brought me into the presence of God. The service really brought me into the presence of God this morning. Now, I don't want today to be about semantics or for you to feel like you need to walk on eggshells around me or talk on eggshells that we don't say something the wrong way. That's not what today's about. But my heart is just that we would understand and know what worship is and that we would offer our lives in worship. So what is it? Let's get at a definition of worship that we can look at this morning. This is a fill in the blank on your outline if you're doing that. And if you're not a fill-in-the-blank person, that's fine too. I am not. So either way, but this is a definition from Dr. Best in his book, and it says this. It says, worship is the continuous outpouring of all that I am, all that I do, and all that I can ever become in light of a chosen or choosing God. The continuous outpouring of all that I am, all that I do, all that I can ever become. And just a helpful statement to go along with that, everyone, this is the next blank in your outline, everyone is always worshiping. Everyone is always worshiping. We see this in our culture as we love to admire things outside of us. We love to admire people. We love to admire things. We even sometimes give ourselves in a worshipful sense to things. We see that with celebrities that even though there are celebrities now that are just making a complete train wreck of their life, we cannot stop watching sometimes. And we follow things and we lift up things. John Calvin said that the human heart is an idol factory. And I think that we all know what he meant by that, that when there's a vacuum, we will fill that with something and we will seek to have something that we're worshiping all the time. And everyone is always worshiping. The issue is not, are you starting or stopping? The issue is, who or what are you worshiping? So those are two statements that will kind of guide us this morning. There's two passages of scripture that we're going to look at. First one is, you can kind of maybe keep your finger in both of these places, Romans 12, 1 and 2. Romans 12, 1 and 2, and then also Hebrews 13, verses 15 and 16. We'll be in Romans first, Romans 12, 1 and 2. And maybe the way for us to go about this to help understand this is to answer some of those questions that I told you a minute ago, those questions that I've had, that I've heard, that have come my way. I want to answer those, and that'll help us understand worship this morning. First one, Aaron, how much are we going to worship this morning? Again, that was asked in a pure heart. I'm convinced of that, and no one had any ill will asking me that question, like, how long are we going to... No, it wasn't like that. It was, how long are we going to worship? Well, my question would be, my return question would be, well, how long have you been awake this morning? Because, see, worship is not something that begins when we hit the downbeat here. I do the music most of the time, and so I'm a musician. When we hit the downbeat, worship doesn't start right then. When I begin to play the piano, that's not when worship starts. And when we leave and get in our cars and go home, that's not when worship ends. Worship is something that as we go throughout our life, let's take a Sunday, for instance, as we get up, as we get our families ready to go and in the car, as we drive here, as we walk in this place and greet people in the hallways, as we check our kids in, even if you came alone this morning, just the demeanor with which you came today, that is all potentially worship. And that's all part of our offering to God because our offering is our life. Let's look at Romans 12, which says this is kind of the biblical version of Dr. Best's definition, the continuous outpouring. Let's read this together, Romans 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So worship is literally, there's some great phrases in that passage. I urge you, brothers, to present your bodies as living sacrifice. Not only your songs, not only 2.5 hours on Sunday, but our very bodies, our lives, even our physical reactions to our life, to our job, to our relationships, everything we present to God as worship, as living sacrifices. It's not something that we do once and then that's over with, but it's a living sacrifice, which is a verb that keeps going. We continually offer worship. Remember our definition, the continuous outpouring of all that I am, all that I do. In life, in work, in play, in money, as Thomas has been talking to us, in our resources, in our family, in our relationships, the use of our time, our talents, we're giving worth to something as we go throughout all that. Worship, the literal translation is worth-ship in essence, giving worth to something. And we give worth to something by the way that we interact with all of that, with our job, with our relationships. We are giving worth to something, saying by our actions how much something is worth. Hopefully how much our God is worth to us as we go throughout all those things in our life. We speak that by our life. So God, as it says in the Psalms, Psalm 19, is continuously pouring out his attributes, his glory. On the cross 2,000 years ago, he poured out grace and mercy. That's still happening. God is continuously pouring out. It says the heavens declare the glory of God. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge. That's something that's ongoing. He's constantly pouring out himself towards us. And then we, in a finite way, pour back to him our worship. And our life is us pouring back what God has initiated in worship to him. So God pours out his lordship, his glory. We pour back. That's worship. And that's our life. And in a similar way that God is constantly pouring his lordship out, we are pouring worship back as we can in our finite way as humans. So it's a big global concept there. I want that to be clear, just that God was the original pourer, constant pourer, and we are then continuously pouring back our worship. So that's kind of a global sense of the word worship, of the concept of worship, our life. So it kind of begs the question, well, what are we doing here? What is it that we do in the church? What do we do on Sunday morning? And for that, I want to go to Hebrews chapter 13, verses 15 and 16. And we're going to read this together as well, and you can turn there as well. Great passage of Scripture. Before we read it, just know that at the beginning there, when it says through him, then says through him, that means Jesus. And if you've read Hebrews, you know that this is chapters and chapters of delineating who Jesus is, explaining that when we say through him we offer sacrifice, that is a big deal. And that is an amazing thing, as we heard this morning, that Jesus is the door for us and is the way that our worship gets to God. Our worship hits the ceiling without Jesus, because we don't have access without his sacrifice to God. So, anyway, through him, two big words. Let's read this together. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that confess his name. And do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. So again, some of those questions I was asked. Aaron, lead us in a 20-minute worship set, and then we'll do the sermon. My question to that would be, well, what are we supposed to do during the sermon? My dad was asked, you worship him for 20 minutes, and then I'll get up and talk. My question would be, well, to that person, well, what are you going to do while you talk this morning? See, Everything that we do in this room is worship. When Tom gets up here and opens the word to us and exalts over the word, he is worshiping. And hopefully we are worshiping and giving worth to God as we listen. As we listen, when someone gives a testimony and as David said, opens their mouth and tells of all that God has done, that's worship. That's giving worth to God. When we hear from a missionary who's telling people about Christ in another place, that's worship. And it's not something that ends when the music stops and then is the sermon or ends with the offering or ends at any other time. Our corporate worship together, since there is sort of a time limit on that, we do stop corporately worshiping and then we go and we worship in our life, hopefully still corporately in small groups and different things, but there is an end to this time. But while we're here, it's all potentially and hopefully worship, and hopefully we're participating even in the answer to that one question. As we listen to a sermon, as we sit and take in, hopefully we're worshiping and we're praying, God, speak to me in this. Lord, give me a soft heart to what you want to say to me this morning. God, I'm broken this week. Please speak to me. That's worship. Everything that we do in this room. And I love this passage because all ministries of the church are kind of equated in that passage. Sometimes we lift up, you know, maybe the pastor or the music ministry. Those are the cool people. And then the people that do the service work, well, that's down here. Well, look at this. Don't neglect doing good and sharing. For with such sacrifices, God is pleased. Yes, the fruit of lips that confess his name, we give thanks to God. We sing loud. We celebrate. We praise him. And, big and there, a big word again, do not neglect doing good and sharing. So all of us that are involved with what God's doing here at Calvary are worshiping and giving worth to God through all the various ministries. As we maybe serve in the kids ministry, as we serve the poor at Lamb's Lunch, or whatever it is that we do, that's all hopefully worship to our God. So again, the definition that we're looking at this morning, the continuous outpouring of all that I am, all that I do, all that I can ever become, and everyone is always worshiping. And we want the direction of our worship to be in the right place, and that's what I want to talk about next. Again, just to help us understand worship, I thought it might be helpful to just explain four hindrances to worship, four things that can get in the way of our worship, and that's there on your outline. The first one we've kind of already spoken about today, and that is idolatry. First hindrance to worship is idolatry, and literally what idolatry is backwards worship, because we are worshiping, but we've turned it towards something else, or towards someone else, or maybe towards a concept, or towards an idea. Idolatry is being mastered by something that has been made, worshiping the creation instead of the creator. And maybe it's even something that we've made, some kind of a great, you know, thing that man has come up with, we put our affections and put our worship towards instead of God. And so we turn worship backwards and we worship the creation instead of the creator. Here's a few statements. Don't be made by what you're making. Don't be consumed by what you're consuming. Don't be used by what you're using. Don't be worked by what you're working on. Yes, worshiping the creation instead of the creator. That's the essence of idolatry. And that happens, I think, very subtly in our life. Sometimes it's a big thing. We can tell we're worshiping a career, we're worshiping another person, maybe worshiping our money, just giving all our affections, giving all our time to something like that. And we can look at that and hope Spirit of God will reveal that to us, and we go, wow, my intentions and my life is out of whack. But it even can be very subtle, even in this room, when we say things like we need a certain kind of music to worship, or we need a certain place to begin to worship, or maybe a certain person or a certain personality for us to meet God or be brought into the presence of God, a certain style of service. We've made an idol out of that thing. And we have put a person, personality, style of music, whatever it is, above, ironically enough, the God that we are offering that worship to. See, all these things are offerings. All these musics, prayers, testimonies, these are offerings of worship. Our canvases, these are offerings. If we lift those up and put the importance of those things above our God, then we've got it backwards, and that's idolatry. And we've made an idol out of something that's an offering of worship. So idolatry, being mastered by something that's been made. Worshiping the creation versus the creator. That's the essence of backwards worship. Next, another hindrance to worship is a compartmentalized life. A compartmentalized life. And this is pretty self-explanatory, but if you're saying by your actions or even with your words, God, you can't have this or that part of my life, I'll handle that. I'll give you 2 hours on Sunday, and then Monday when I go to work, that's all me. You may not say that with your mouth. If you live like that, that is, you're compartmentalizing your life. 1 Corinthians 10 says, whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, do all for the glory of God. Now that's getting pretty detail-oriented. Whether you eat or drink, there's a way to eat and a way to drink that is not glorifying to God. And that's probably another sermon. But I would just give you that to consider that. That it gets that deep into our life that we can compartmentalize and say that certain things are outside the realm of what we want God to lead us in, and then we're going to take those. And we hinder worship when we do that. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says that. Third hindrance to worship, a non-authentic life. A non-authentic life. This is being fake, putting on airs in front of each other, trying to be someone that we're not. Really just making an idol out of our reputation, out of our good name. And God does not accept worship like that. In fact, he had very harsh words for the Pharisees, if you'll remember, in Matthew 23. Called them whitewashed tombs. And you clean the outside of the cup, you clean the outside of the cup, and on the inside, Jesus said, are dead men's bones. And he wouldn't accept worship from even the most religious folks that there was hypocrisy in their life. There's so many stories of how this is hurtful that have come my way in my life and even in our church. And this story has been repeated many times. This is not a specific story. This has just happened many times where there has been abuse in a family, perhaps to some of the younger members of the family. And some of the folks in authority or the older folks in the family do not validate that abuse, don't bring grace and mercy or love. They don't validate it. And so for years and years and years, the pain builds up in the younger members of the family. And the only reason why that pain isn't validated is because someone is trying to uphold a reputation. And they are just so concerned about their family's reputation. So that causes pain that goes down through the generations. And I've seen this happen many times, even in folks very close to me. And what that says is that someone is making an idol out of reputation, and we're not coming authentically to worship. But we are trying to put on airs and be someone that we're not in front of each other. And we are the family of God, and that's not worship that God accepts. And we need to be authentic with each other. Well, how do you do that, Aaron? Are you saying I have to have a heart-to-heart conversation with every single person that I meet? No, that would be impossible to do that. But I think that there's a way that we can interact that is authentic, that does have the air of, this is who I am, I'm here today, I'm offering my worship to God, we're brothers and sisters, we're in this together, and there's an air that isn't that way. And that might look different for each of us. Just to give you an example, when someone stops you in the hall, how are you doing today? Here at church, how are you doing today? It's okay to say, I had a rough week this week. I had a really bad week this week. It's hard to be here today. Other person could say, well, let's have coffee this week. Let's talk about that. I'd love to walk with you through that. Okay, well, I'll give you a call. Okay, see you later. That's a great example of how we can be authentic with each other and not just say, well, fine, okay, see ya. But we can come authentically to God because remember that it is you and your true self that God wants worship from. And not some kind of a mask or some kind of person that you would like to be or you would like people to think of you as. God wants you. And in his mercy and grace, he wants to come to you in that and give that to you. And we have to come authentically towards each other and to worship with God. And that's my heart when I say a non-authentic life, is that I just want us to be people that love each other well, know each other, and worship authentically. So I hope you hear my heart in that.
Fourth hindrance is a comfortable life. Worship is costly. Worship with our whole life is costly. Jesus, one of Jesus' great promises to us, just warms our heart, is when he told the disciples, in this world, you will have trouble. Trouble. We haven't written that song yet, have we? I'm kidding, but Jesus promised that. He said, in this world, you will have trouble. Worship is costly. And sometimes as Christians, we can make an idol out of ease or out of comfort. And in order to follow God, there will be hard decisions to make. There will be tears to be shed sometimes. There will be sacrifices to be made at times. Hard decisions, sacrifices, tears. Those are all part of our life, part of our worship. And if we avoid those, if we are living in such a way to avoid all types of that, then we're not worshiping like we ought to. I think we can say that this morning, that we're not worshiping like we ought to if we're constantly avoiding discomfort or cost in the way that we live our life. God has put some of those things in our path to make us more like Christ. And even sometimes in tragedy, you know, when we run to the cross, when we run to Christ and we feel close to him, maybe after a catastrophic event, I've been through those, and there's, you know, so many different steps in the cycle of that. And I'm not trying to make quick work of that this morning. I'm just saying that when we come to Christ in those, that is worship. And that is deep, deep worship. And so a comfortable life, when we make an idol out of ease or comfort, that can be a hindrance to worship. We don't want to make an idol out of those things. So I thought that the perfect response this morning would be for us to worship by remembering this morning, by sitting at the Lord's table together. Because that's the event when God poured out his grace and mercy that was actually the first and only call to worship. We don't need to call anyone to worship anymore. Jesus did that. And when we begin to sing together, for instance, that is just the continuation of a life and a week of worship. And when we come corporately, we celebrate together. So now, corporately, I want us to remember together. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. And we can actually worship as we remember this morning. Maybe for some of you, this might be a time of repentance as you see some idolatries in your life or some ways that your life is out of balance with this. And if that's the case, that is what this is for. That is what the cross is for us to be able to come. And so I just want us to celebrate communion as part of our worship today. We always say that we're going to celebrate communion as part of our worship. Well, we mean that. And today, as we remember together, as we remember the cross, and as we come just authentically before God together, I hope that will be a worshipful time. God is here. God is among us. And the service this morning did not bring you into the presence of God. Maybe your attention to that presence and to him being here has changed, and maybe your focus has changed. I know it helps mine to change. But God is with us, Christ in us, the hope of glory, wherever we go. And that's worship. That's what we want our whole life to be, is a response to that. So I'm going to pray, and after we pray, those who are serving can come this morning. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you that today that we didn't need to invoke your name at all or perform anything to ask you to come into this place, but that you are here and that you are with us. And you said you'd never leave us or forsake us. And that you, Jesus, being in us is the hope that we have of glory. We thank you for that. And my prayer today is that we would remember the cross, and then that we would go and live, worship, and live like you are worth our life. And that we would live like that. Lord, I pray in this time that you would speak to every heart in here and in Erie, wherever we are. You will meet us where we are this morning. I pray that we would know that. I pray that our awareness would be of that, God, that you are with us. Jesus' name, amen.